Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to this week's Living Torah. It's been a morning already. You would not believe the things that I've gone through this morning trying to get this thing. I turned the camera on a couple times. Things have happened, and all of a sudden, I turned on that time, and I got a mosquito right here in my face looking at me. So you never know. By the way, one of the things I promise I'm going to do is I haven't had time to really work on it, but when I get back from Israel, I'm going to work on the backdrop here. I know that it's a little glaring at times, and so that is on my list to do, but it is not taking a priority over Israel. Now, we have Yom Teruah beginning, depending on your calendar, tonight or Friday night or Saturday night, whichever it is. You know, I don't want to make light of it, but there is, if you didn't read the article I wrote, it is on the website on respect. You know, be convinced in your own mind, but at the same time, respect each other. Respect each other in how each of us looks at Scripture a little different. It's not that we're going, no, we don't need to be doing Yom Teruah. We don't need to be celebrating these things. No, that's not what we're doing. We're all going forward with it, but we have our different biases. We have our different opinions. And you know something? Who's right? Who's wrong? In the end, we're going to find out. And today, we're practicing. So let's just take it as opportunities to love one another and put the weightier matters, which we'll talk about a little bit, up at the greatest level here. So we've got Yom Teruah, we've got the fall festivals coming in, and of course my mind is about half in Israel. The other half is on everything that I've got to do between now and the time that I get there. So also, I promised Teresa up in Canada that I would tell people about her book again. She wrote it, I guess it's been now a couple of years ago probably. It's called Flicker of Hope, and Teresa is a quadriplegic, and just an incredible story, and so she's running a special on her book. And so if you just want a really uplifting story during this time of the season, this would be a good book to get. So you can go to our website, it's and go to links and then Flicker of Hope. And I hope they got that right, Teresa. So with that, let's get in the scripture. And I have to tell you up front that I get to this part of Matthew chapter 23. And I guess maybe the reason I've had such a difficult time this morning, besides that mosquito flying in my face right now, is because I just can't stand this section of Scripture. I don't like it. And I can imagine, as I was thinking about this earlier, hopefully I'm going to be able to get this thing sometime today. Where else can you go and see somebody, you know, trying to teach and fighting with a mosquito at the same time? That, you know, that mosquito just goes along. It goes along with this section of Scripture because this section is like it annoys you like a mosquito buzzing around in your ear. And I was thinking what it must have been like. You know, Yeshua at this point, when he goes from chapter 22 to 23, there were no chapter markers, of course, but there was a turn that we've talked about over the last couple of weeks. There was a turn in his focus, and his focus now is toward that execution stake. It's toward that resurrected by the empty tomb. Okay, so he's focusing more in that direction now. And I wonder if there's, in the midst of these words, as he takes this turn, you know, Messiah, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, is having what I've called an in-body experience. And for these past about 3 years, he's been through a lot of frustrations, of course, in dealing with disciples and all the things he's had to deal with. But he has had an opportunity that he created to dwell with mankind. You know, Sukkot is about dwelling. and we'll talk more about Sukkot in a little bit. But it's about Him dwelling with His people and us dwelling, Sukkoting, and I know that's not a word, but Sukkoting with Him. And so as I wonder if maybe as this turn is happening in His own mind, as He's seeing that He's going from His time of ministry, and the focus now is on the completion of redemption, the work that He has to do. If what was going through His mind at that time? Sorrow, yes, I'm sure. And these Pharisees who He knew would put Him to death in the days to come. These are the people that have caused Him so much pain throughout all the centuries, not just this time, but see, these Pharisees of that He is going to speak to in these scriptures we're going to, these Pharisees are the epitome of the religion of religion that has been all the way back to the days of Cain and Abel, and religion that will be in the end and will ultimately be destroyed, and that's the great thing about it. Now, let's just, and I like I said, I don't even like these scriptures, but we're going to go through them and we're going to read them. The place to come back to, we need to go back a verse from last week, if we're going to truly understand these scriptures, is the greatest among you must be your servant. And whoever promotes himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be promoted. And then He looks directly to them, and I'm not going to use, as you know, I don't like David Stern's translation here of Torah teachers, but I'm going to use scribes and Pharisees, which is what I think the actual word was. But woe to you, hypocritical scribes and Pharisees, for you are shutting the kingdom of heaven in people's faces, neither entering yourselves nor allowing those who wish to do so. What is the religion that these people are teaching? It's basically outward appearance. You know, we talked, this has been a theme that we began with a couple of years ago, I guess, when we began Matthew, that there are two ways to serve Him. One is from the inside and one is from the outside. And if we serve Him from, it's the works, or it's the faith that produces works, not the works that produce faith. And so the scribes, the Pharisees, they had gotten it wrong, as religion always does. And not only is it that they were shutting themselves out to the kingdom, but they were shutting other people out also. The kingdom, when we talk about these words, the kingdom of heaven, there was a time in my Baptist Pentecostal charismatic doctrines that I looked at those words, the kingdom of heaven, more as a place. But the kingdom of heaven is speaking there not of a place, but is a, this is a difficult word because it can be taken out of context into New Age has done a lot of things with terms. The kingdom of heaven is not so much a place, it is a realm. And what we today are looking for is the kingdom of heaven to come upon us, restoration to come upon us. We are looking for His kingdom. We are praying in accordance to Matthew, your kingdom come. And instead, these scribes and Pharisees were not really looking for His kingdom. They were building their own kingdom once again, and they were causing other people to not, because of their doctrines and their theologies and all of these things, they were not only shutting themselves out of the kingdom, but they were causing other people not to be able to walk into the kingdom. And it says in verse 14, which is not in some of the manuscripts, we're going to read this, Woe to you, hypocritical scribes and Pharisees, for you swallow up widows' houses while making a show of davening and at great length. Because of this, your punishment will be all the worse. And I wonder if those are some words that Yaakov would talk about later on. Of let not many of you be teachers, because if you do this thing wrong, and you keep people away from the kingdom, your judgment is going to be worse. He says, woe to you hypocritical scribes and Pharisees, you go over land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you succeed, you make him twice as fit for Gehenna as you are. And Gehenna was the place of judgment. And so in these verses, these three verses that he lays out, he is telling them there is a kingdom out there and you are keeping people from the kingdom. In fact, you're going out through land and sea in missionary journeys. And when you go, you are not giving them the truth. You're giving them a half-truth. Now, I mean, we could look at today. We could bring this into our modern-day society and say that the same thing is happening. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is, when we teach it about, it's just a place, then we miss out on so much. When a person goes out and they say the law is not for today, the Torah is done away with. You know what they've done? They have shut part of the kingdom of heaven unto people. The blessings of the kingdom. You know, we enter into, depending on your calendar, we enter into tonight, you know, whenever, into the time of the fall festivals. But I could go around all over this area of Oklahoma. I could go where you live, wherever it is. And there will be church after church after church that disregards totally and completely these festivals. They have said, these festivals are not for today. They have been replaced by other festivals. I even got an email, I think it was yesterday, the day before, that was by a person who had a few weeks ago sent an email, and I don't know why I still get this guy's emails. I just kind of like to keep up with what he's saying. But he had sent an email out a number of weeks ago about how the Torah is done away with. But then yesterday, he sent an email from someone who had gone through and done a teaching of Yom Teruah and how it was a picture of the rapture of the church. See, what religion does and what the scribes and Pharisees were doing is they were picking and choosing for their own benefit, not for the blessing of the people. You and I know the blessings that are in these festivals, that these festivals are to be a season of joy. Now, in this month's CD that I actually talk about this, I did not say that they are to be a season of happiness necessarily. I'm going into, and just to lay my cards out in front of you, because of my going to Israel this year, I'm going off the rabbinic calendar for Yom Teruah. Now, before you throw stones here, I will also be celebrating the Rosh Chodesh, whether the moon is seen on Friday night or on Saturday night. So basically, I'm doing what some other people in our area are doing. They're doing both, which, okay, I figure if you do enough of them, you're going to get one of them right? So we're actually doing a Yom Kippur tonight. And I can tell you that there's some things that are going on as I'm approaching the time of going to Israel. There's some things that are going on regarding my mother, regarding Kathy's mother, regarding just other things that I don't have a lot of happiness going into this evening. But I do have an inner joy. Why? Because my religion what I follow today is not based upon external things. It is based upon what is inside and what I am looking for. To give you just a crazy, some of you are going to say that's just strange. A crazy example. Here it is. We're going to have a dinner tonight with some folks, and this morning we got up, and it's been around our house. We've had a couple of very, very difficult days in making some decisions, some personal decisions. And this morning I got up, and Kathy had been up for a while, and the phone rang. She was down at the chicken coop, and she called, and she was just crying. And I'm going, what's going on? We have a couple of turkeys that we've been raising. And, you know, I mean, it's a turkey. It's just they call them on the websites. They say they're intelligent birds. I can't find anything intelligent about a turkey. But we've been raising these. We raised them from just very, very little babies. And we had three originally. We got down to two. And one was a male and one was a female. And the male was just beginning to kind of come into his time. So she went down there this morning, and she found that a wildcat or whatever had jumped the fence last night, and we just had a mess of feathers and just stuff. And my first thought was, of course, I know how this affects Kathy. She loves these animals. She treats these animals like humans. And I mean, she had just read that turkeys are a social animal. So, you know, she wants to go down and spend more time with them. I was expecting her to go down and read to them or something. I'm going to hear about that later. But, this is just how much she pours her heart into these animals. And I think that's an awesome thing. But that was my first thought. My second thought was, I can't wait to get in the kingdom. Because in the kingdom it says that the lion, and I know that it's not lion and lamb, but the lion will lay down with the lamb. I know it's different animals there, but it doesn't matter. It's that there won't be this death. There won't be this destruction. We are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven, which is more than just a place. It is a person. It is a realm. It is a way of life that you and I, most of us today, are just yearning for. I spent some time on the phone with a few people Sunday. I had an opportunity to spend some time just talking to a few people, old acquaintances, just checking in with them. And it was amazing to me. I could hear in their voices that no matter where life was, there was still just an unsettled yearning in their voice. It didn't matter what blessings were coming. It was like, there's got to be more. And I think this may be kind of a strange place to put this, but I think that, you know, there was in that day with the people, there was a yearning for the kingdom. And they had seen this one before them, and they were so sure that he was the one that was going to restore everything. And that there was a change in him as he was focusing more toward that execution stake. I think there was a yearning. They saw something in him. Their hearts yearned, as we would see in the disciples talked about it, as they were going to the road of Emmaus. There was a yearning for the kingdom. And these scribes and Pharisees were doing everything in their power to keep people away from the kingdom. It goes on, "Woe to you, blind guides! You say if someone swears by the temple, he's not bound by his oath. If someone swears by the gold in the temple, he is bound. You blind fools! Which is more important, the gold or the temple which makes the gold holy? And you say if someone swears by the altar, he is not bound by his oath, but if he swears by the offering on the altar, he's bound. Blind men, which is more important, the sacrifice or the altar which makes the sacrifice holy? So someone who swears by the altar swears by it and everything on it. And someone who swears by the temple swears by it, and the one who lives in it. And someone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne, and the one who sits in it. He is basically looking at these people and saying, you've forgotten what life is all about. You've forgotten what that temple is all about. And we believe that in that day, that when Herod, the remodeling and the beautification of the temple, I personally do not believe was directed by Elohim. I believe this was a political thing, and what began in politics would end up in politics. And we see the culmination, we're going to see the culmination of the death of Messiah. The one who was the temple would be put to death, but they were already putting it to death. They were already putting him to death. And they had their eyes on the gold and the silver. They had their eyes on the things, but they had forgotten what the temple was all about. And I want to use that as a little bit of a segue into this. We're coming into the festivals. One of the greatest times for most people's lives in this walk that we're in is the time of Sukkot. Now, my Sukkot this year, last year was we were all in Israel together. This year is going to be a little different in that I'm going to be leaving in the middle of Sukkot, and you know, it's diaspora time. It's what we have. It's what we're dealing with. I long for the day that the kingdom is here upon this earth, and I don't have to be concerned about whether I'm in Oklahoma or somewhere else, because we're all going to be there in the end. And so what we got to do on this side to get there, sometimes it's some sacrifices. But I want to talk to you specifically, as many of you are making plans right now, many of you are packing up to go to various places. Mosquito back again. Didn't get him. You're going to various places, maybe in your backyard, as we're probably going to do for your Sukkot. I want to challenge you in something that, as I talked about on this month's CD, and it's in the mail to many of you already, and the same holds true as did last month, that does all the time, that if you truly cannot afford any of the CDs that we put out, all you have to do is call us. All you have to do is email, and we'll take care of it. I'll make sure you get it. It's not about money. This is how we're supported, of course. But if somebody can't afford it, they're going to get the teaching. And so I bring out in there, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this. I got him, finally. Cool. Yeah. Take that, you Pharisees. What is Sukkot all about? Think about it. See, if you've been going to the festival for, you know, or wherever you're, whatever you're doing for a few years, sometimes we can lose the meaning of what the feasts are all about. You know, I've taught on preparedness. I've taught on many things at the festivals, but you know, right or wrong, I'm not sure if that was the wrong thing to do right now. Maybe it was. But I know this, that in every festival that I have an opportunity to be a part of, to teach in, to be there just personally, every festival that I do from now until His kingdom comes, it is my goal, it is my desire to make the person of Yeshua, the Messiah, first and foremost. And I use these verses that we just read as a bit of a springboard into asking you to not go to the Sukkot you're planning to go to judgmentally, looking at everybody else. But why are you going to Sukkot? Has Sukkot become about who can have the biggest motor home? Who can have the greatest RV? Has Sukkot become no more than what we see Saturday after Saturday, Sunday after Sunday at football stadiums all around the country. I'm speaking of the United States. I'm talking about the tailgating parties. You know, I've never been to a football game. I just have never been. And I really don't care. It doesn't matter to me at all. If I got to go, I'd go. But I don't like crowds. Okay, I like that. But I've never been to a tailgating party. But I know when I go to these sporting goods stores and I see what's on television, I know what these tailgating parties are all about. It's who can show up the other person. Who's got the best steaks and who's got the best barbecue sauce and who's got the best of this and all of these different things. Have we done the same thing? Have we taken that same spirit of a tailgating party and have we placed that into Sukkot to where it's no longer about him, but it's about us? It's about, well, I went to this Sukkot, and this person was teaching. And we got to hear this person. And we got to listen to these musicians. Where is he? You know, the first day of Sukkot, I believe, and I bring this out in my CD, I've taught this many, many times. The first day of Sukkot, I believe, is the birthday of Messiah. This is my conviction and my conviction only. If you and I enter into Sukkot and do not acknowledge in some way, I think most of us would agree that that commemorates the birth of Messiah. It's not December 25th. But the first night of Sukkot. And if you and I are part of a Sukkot, that on the first night, or any night, which I've seen some, does not acknowledge the person of Messiah, are we there for the right reason? Are we? Or are we there for the gold? Forgetting about the one who makes the gold holy? Are we there for the sacrifice? Or have we forgotten about the one who makes the sacrifice holy? Okay, well we're not doing a sacrifice. No, what I'm talking about is, we could put this, okay, we can go there if I like. It doesn't matter, you know, you can turn me off, but, you know, the... We could kind of throw it's about the barbecue, okay, instead of the one who makes the barbecue holy. As we get together for Sukkot, it's not about the barbecue. It's about those that we invite to the barbecue. Because Sukkot is a time to go back to those verses from a few weeks ago, to love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the purposes. That is what's behind this festival. Let's go on. Woe to you hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. You pay your tithes of mint, dill, and cumin. But you have neglected the weightier matters of Torah. Justice, mercy, and trust. Or justice, mercy, and faith is how that I think that should be easier to read. These are the things that you should have attended to without neglecting the others. Blind guide straining out a gnat, meanwhile swallowing a camel. Okay, we've got just a few minutes left on this. I'm probably going to, I don't know if I may stop here, may not. He talked to them about, they were tithing mint, dill, and cumin. Now, of all of the produce that you would grow, mint, dill, and cumin are some of the smallest things. In fact, it would be very difficult. It is a time-consuming thing to go out and pick mint or dill or cumin and then separate out a tenth of it. You have to take a you have to spend some time at that one. And what he was, I think, was saying to them is, though you're doing the right thing on the surface, you're spending too much time on the little things while you have neglected the bigger things. Now, he says very clearly, without neglecting the others. So it is not that we should neglect the mint and the dill and the cumin, but those should be secondary to the greater levels, the greater aspects of Torah, which is justice, mercy, and faith. Once again, goes back to the two great commandments, I believe. For those that want a lot more than what I'm going to be able to give you in just a few minutes on this, a few weeks ago, actually it's been a couple of months now, I guess, I was up in Colorado at Camp Exodus, the second one, and it was myself and Bill and Brad, Bill Cloud and Brad Scott were there, and it was an incredible time. The group that was there, the leadership of it, actually videotaped all of the messages, also Kimmy's messages, and they are available free right now online on YouTube. And so if you like, you can go there. They're 2 hours. I mean, I did 4 hours. Bill did 4 hours. Brad did 4 hours. So that's a lot of teaching, and it's all in there free. Now, it's not a professional recording, okay? It's just with a hand, small camera, and especially trying to keep Brad in one spot. You can imagine that one, okay? So they did a good job. But you got the audio is good on it. It's pretty good. So these are on YouTube. You can go to, listen to this one, Western Slope Fellowship. This is the Western Slope of Colorado. Western Slope Fellowship, and they've got a link on there for the YouTube videos from Camp Exodus. And so Bill, I'm saying all this, Bill did a message on the weightier measures. And of course, Brad's talked about this. I've talked about this in the past. But he did probably one of the best messages. In fact, I've said this a number of times about Bill's messages, but I think these messages he did were maybe, it wasn't the wow of like his message on the Titanic or of Joseph or one of these. It didn't have the wows in it, which I think is good. What it had was, wow, yeah, that is what I needed to hear. And so I challenge you, if you like, you got some time here with the festivals coming up, you can get on overload here with these the messages that were done. But briefly, the justice and the mercy and the trust, the faith, these are things that are you can't hold on to that. Okay, the mint and the dill and the cumin, you can put that into a container. And you can bring that somewhere. But how do you put justice and mercy and faith into containers? You can't. Why? Because these are aspects of the Torah that are from the inside of man, not from the outside. And so, once again, he's just nailing them with this of you must come back to the place that the Torah is from the inside, not from the outside. You know, if in conferences you go to, and this could be the festivals, this could be just conferences wherever, please try your best. And we are humans that are attracted to light. That's why we're attracted to the stars, you know. I mean, you know, some people are. But it's a natural attraction that's inside of us to be attracted to light. And this can be perverted into the attraction of the glitz and the glamour of outward things. If you go to a conference and it's all about the let's say it like this, there's nothing wrong with the expression, the outward expression of dance. There's nothing wrong with the outward expression of somebody raising their hands, of clapping, of dancing, of waving flags. But those are outward expressions. And many times, if we're not cautious, we can be fooled into thinking that the more outward expression that there is, the greater that which is inside. It's not necessarily true. I have seen some of the greatest people of justice, mercy, and faith that never once danced. That never once lifted a flag in the air. That even have a hard time clapping or raising their hands. But there are people that have the inside. Now, I believe that eventually that, you know, that the inside will come out. But we can't get the outside and make it change what is inside. All right, a few more we're going to go through. And this next one, the next couple, this just goes to the same thing. Woe to you hypocritical scribes and Pharisees. You clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup so the outside may be clean too. You know, how many people have used this to say that the Torah is not a good thing? Well, they were following the Torah and it was all about outside. Where is it in the Torah that talks about the outside things? Torah doesn't teach about externals. Torah teaches what's in the heart. Woe to you, hypocritical Torah scribes and Pharisees! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look fine on the outside, but inside are full of dead people's bones and all kinds of rottenness. Likewise, you appear to people from the outside to be good and honest, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and far from Torah. Let me tell you, these people were standing there, as Bill was talking about it in Colorado, these people were standing there with beards and with tzitzit, and many of them probably with tefillin. Could put it into today's terms. These people were standing there with three-piece suits. They looked great on the outside, but there was nothing inside of them. And this is something that each of us have to guard against, even in our walk that we have today, that we're not trapped into just living it from the outside. Woe to you, hypocritical scribes and Pharisees! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous people. You say, had we lived when our fathers did, we would never have taken part in killing the prophets. In this you testify against yourselves that you are worthy descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead, finish what your fathers started. This is where he just absolutely, and we're gonna have to stop right there because of time. I'm kind of stopping in a place I didn't want to here. We may back up and go at this one again a little bit. But this is the place that he's just nailing these people. And I can see, I mean, as I think through these teachings during the week, I can just, I there's that place in Revelation that talks about, and the song was written of it, he has fire in his eyes. And there's a fire of compassion on one side, and there's a fire of judgment. This is the person of who he is, that he has a side, Yahweh himself has a side of compassion and a side of judgment. A side of mercy, a side of judgment. We see that in the topography of Jerusalem. And I believe that in the midst of this, you saw, if you were standing in front, if two people were standing in front of him, one, a scribe or a Pharisee, and the other one standing just behind him, a common person, just seeking the things of the kingdom, I believe that those two people both would have been able to see the fire in his eyes. But one would have seen the fire of judgment. The other would have seen the fire of mercy that calls out for faith. The weightier things of the Torah, justice, mercy, and faith. I believe that two people standing there would have seen two different fires in his eyes. He calls them out before he goes to the execution stake. My prayer, I think yours would be too, that today, once again, he would begin to call out the hypocrisy of our day. Call it out so it can be seen for what it is and be destroyed. So that those who stand in the way of people who are truly desiring to seek the kingdom of heaven, there would be nothing standing in their way. Well, with that, I'm out of time. Just kind of leave that one hanging right there, I guess. There's so much to kind of consider right there. You know, I go back the words, whoever promotes himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be promoted. Whoever stands in the way of someone coming into the kingdom, there will be justice one day. Whoever opens the gates, because of their life, opens the gates of the kingdom, they will find mercy, and they will find faith, and they will find his presence. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is my prayer for you, for me, for my family, for this festival season, that we will find him, his presence. Shavua Tov. Have a wonderful, blessed, prosperous week. And Shana Tova to those who would be involved in Rosh Hashanah. And I have no problem with that, because it is the creation, we believe, is the creation of the earth. So there is like a year of man. And we can look at it like this. I'll just throw this at the end. We can look at it like this, that man was created on Yom Teruah. But then there's a new year for those who would follow the seed of the woman. And that is the time of before Passover. So there is 2 years. And I have no problem, really. And I know people have emailed me in the past and blasted me for that. But, you know, doesn't really bother me to see that this is a time. The celebration, you know, we enter into in this Yom Teruah, another year has ticked off since creation. You know what that means? That means we're closer to the end. We're closer to his kingdom. We're closer to the day that the lion will lay down with the lamb. Bezrat Hashem, God willing, see you next week.
Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yichunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha. Shalom.